All right. Okay, so question for you to start off with. When you were growing up, who did you want to be like? Karen Carpenter. Okay, cool. A singer, and you're singing in church, so that's related. All right, anything else? When you were growing up, who did you want to be like? Indiana Jones? Ooh, that's cool. I love that. Roy Rogers, nice. What's that? Oh, Paul George for the Pacers. All right, at that time, very cool. All right, so for me, and August, and we pointed out there's some other people who have birthdays in August too. My birthday is August. I was born August 22nd, 1978. John Hager said that I walked on dirt, I'm so old, or something like that. I'm not that old, maybe, depending on your perspective. But I had this dream as a kid of who I wanted to be like, and I wanted to be like Mike. It was in a Gatorade commercial. And if you know who that's a reference of, sometimes I dream that he is me. Does that ring a bell to anybody? So for me, to be like Mike was to be like Michael Jordan. And the very unfortunate thing that happened was on the very next day after I was born, August 23rd, 1978, someone was born who stole my dream. They took it from me. His name was Kobe Bryant. So when I grow up, probably like Kobe, my room was lined with pictures of Michael Jordan. I had his shoes, I had his jersey, I had his cologne, I had his underwear. Yeah, I know, that's going too far. But I wanted to be like Mike. Michael Jordan was the one to be like. I bought into the Gatorade commercial. And then Kobe. Kobe came along, and he wanted to be like Mike too. And the thing was, you know, Michael Jordan was number 23. He was 6'6" tall, which Kobe grew up to be, and I came up about a foot short. But I came up short in other ways just besides my height. I obviously never got to achieve the things that Kobe did, who was the Michael Jordan of our generation. But as we're thinking about that, maybe the dreams that we had as kids and some disappointments along the way, we're going to go back. This is the third and final message of a series that we've been doing called Start, and we've been looking at the story of Simon Peter. And so just to recap and go back to the first week, Simon was a fisherman when Jesus showed up and he was teaching near him, and then he used his boat, and then after a night of unsuccessful fishing, which was a real stressor to Simon, Jesus told him to put his boat back out, put the nets back out at a time when he was unlikely to catch fish after an unsuccessful night, and he caught this miraculous catch that solved a lot of his problems. But then when he got in, Simon said, "Get away from me, I'm so unworthy." And Jesus just looked at him and said, "From now on, you're going to be fishing for men." And so Simon, who later was also called Peter, Simon Peter would follow Jesus for the next 3 years, which was full of all kinds of incredible journeys. There were some real low points, some high points, but along that way, Simon Peter was with Jesus as his right-hand man and got to witness all these incredible things while he struggled at times. Last week, we talked about how in crunch time, the last night of Jesus' life, when he really needed his friends, that his disciples, and especially Peter, Simon Peter, had let him down. So Simon Peter seemed to think that he had blown it. Like during crunch time, when everything counted, when Jesus needed him most, he had blown it. He blew it in many ways that night, but he even denied that he knew Jesus 3 times. And Jesus even did it in, unfortunately, a memorable way. He said, "Before the rooster crows, you will even deny that you know me 3 times. And this happened. And so it seemed like Peter had thought that he had blown it so far that he had failed, that maybe he was no longer welcome to try to fish for men because he'd proven unworthy. But now it's time for him to go back to fishing for fish. So he took some of those other disciples. He went out on a boat back near his hometown again, back to where it all started. They went out again, and once again they had a night of catching nothing. So he's lousy at this again. And then Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, showed up on the beach, and he told them to throw their nets on the other side, and once again it was a huge catch. And once that happened again, like it started to stir the memories, and they recognized Jesus, and Peter put his coat on and swam in. Jesus cooked them fish for breakfast and warmed up bread. So memories of the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, all the different things that they had encountered on that lake where Peter had walked on water. So Jesus, after breakfast, had pulled Simon Peter aside and 3 times said, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep," some variation of that. And it was a clear reaffirmation of Peter. The calling on Simon Peter's life had not changed. Yes, he blew it. Jesus knew he was going to blow it. He even predicted that he was going to blow it. But he said, after you've turned back, because he didn't want him to stay stuck. After you've turned back, I know you're going to blow it. I know you're going to have hard times. But after you turn back, you got to strengthen my brothers. And so Jesus really helped Simon Peter come back where he knew that he was still called to follow Jesus, strengthen the brothers and sisters, that he hadn't blown it, the calling was still there, and so he didn't want him to stay stuck. So today we're going to pick up on that story on the beach. We're going to finish it out. Because what Jesus said is very strange after he told him those 3 times, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." The next thing that he says is very strange. So we're picking up in John 21:18. This is Jesus speaking to Simon Peter. "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this. This is just a side note from John, the guy who wrote it down. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. 30 years later or so, the Emperor Nero would execute Peter as a criminal because of his faith in Christ. Peter would die as a martyr. There's a story. It's a legendary story, so it could be true, but it might not be true. But this has been passed on through tradition. And there's a story where Peter has been in Rome, and obviously he's a really important part of the church. Like, he was one who was with Jesus in so many important moments. So Jesus was no longer with the disciples, but they were charged on this difficult mission to go out and make more disciples of this Jesus who was executed as a criminal, and they said had come back from the dead. So they're on this difficult mission. The eyewitness stories are really important. All Peter learned was very important, so he was so important to the church. They got really scared at times. He'd get arrested, unfortunately. The Lord would help him get out of prison. And they're in Rome, and the persecution's really starting to bear down on them. And so they're starting to kill Christians in these really gruesome ways. And so to preserve Peter, he was leaving Rome because they needed Peter. Peter was a link to Jesus. They needed his story. They needed everything about him. He was an important leader. So he's leaving on this road called the Via Appia, and it's heading out of Rome. And the story goes that as he's leaving Rome, he's passed by the resurrected Jesus who is heading into Rome. And so Peter says, "Quo vadis, Domine?" That's the Latin that gets used a lot, and there's even like stories. There's a, not that well known now, but a movie called Quo Vadis, a book. And what this means is, "Where are you going, Lord? Where are you going?" And Jesus in the story says, I'm going to Rome to be crucified. And this is a little picture of it. There's a church that has footprints that they say is Jesus, where he passed Jesus on the Via Appia going into Rome. And Peter turned around, and instead of leaving Rome, he turned back in. And that is where he would give his life, lay his life down. Now, hopefully none of us will die as martyrs. I don't think we will, but, you know, I don't think that is probably the thing that God has for us like he did with Peter. But even so, whether or not we are, there are going to be times in our lives where the Lord leads us in places where we don't want to go. And that's one of the struggles that we have in what it means to follow Jesus. Because we get started, and Peter got started all those years ago, and he kept going. And there were times, and Jesus told him it would be like this. You're going to be led in places you don't want to go. As Doug Musgrove and I were talking about beforehand, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. Like, life can be excruciating. There can be suffering. It can get really difficult. The mortality rate, we know, the mortality rate's 100%. And aging can bring its all kinds of its challenges. As Muriel has told me a few times, I love this quote, Jesus never knew what it was like to age. Why didn't he do that? He laid his life down in his 30s. So, like, he couldn't relate to this because there are difficulties with aging. There are difficulties in all aspects of life. And as we wrestle with that means, we know that in this life, suffering is inevitable. It's the way of the cross, and we look to that cross, but it's suffering with meaning. So after Jesus gives this really bad news to Simon Peter and says, hey, when you're old, you're going to be led in places where you don't want to go. Or as John interpreted it, you're going to lay your life down in a way you don't want to die. And then he says this, after Jesus says this, delivers some bad news, John 21:19, follow me. Now, what do you think Simon Peter's reaction is going to be? He's just been told, hey, I'm going to lead you, or you're going to be led to places where you don't want to go, but you got to follow me. How would you react? Pass? Yeah, nope. Is there another option? So let's see how Peter is going to react. John 21:20-21. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John, the guy writing this down, was following them. He was kind of a distance away. And when Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? All right, so in this conversation that Jesus is having with Peter, says, you're going to be led where you don't want to go. You follow me. How many people are involved in that conversation? Two. Who does Peter bring into it? Somebody else, right? A third person. Peter did this very human thing that I think all of us have done, where notice somebody who seemed to have it better. Like, well, if I have to be led to places where I don't want to go, what about him? What's he? It seems like maybe he's your favorite, that he's calling himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. What about him? What's going to happen with him? So again, that's very human. And probably you've done the same thing. You've looked at somebody else who had what you want. Kobe Bryant, for me. Why don't I have what he has? And thought, man, I've cheated. Somebody else took what I wanted. And there's this question that we have as human. Why? What about somebody else? And so let's go back to Jesus and listen to Jesus' response to Peter. Jesus answered, John 21:22, Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? In other words, don't compare yourself with the other guy. Your calling is not to compare yourself to somebody else. Your calling is to do the thing that I want you to do. So I've got a question for you all, and I want you to go very gentle here, okay? Because it's a sensitive question. Ready? Am I short? John, am I short? Nope. We're almost 6 foot tall, John and I. And am I short compared to Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant? Am I short compared to Matthew and Jacob Harris and Bob Locke? Oh, yeah. Am I compared to the average person? It depends. I'm cherry picking my statistics here. So I'm going to, but I did some Googling, like average height in the world. So again, like there are different metrics that I found. So this is my very cherry picked metrics that I found. But one study suggested that the average human height is 5'4". I'm kind of tall by those metrics, right? So maybe I'm not short. And another thing, like it depends. Your height depends on comparison to somebody else. For example, every week I go into a second grade class at Douglas MacArthur School. Do you know why I go in there? Because one of the things that I hear is, you're so tall. Come here. And that is true at the beginning of the year, but by the end, it may not be true. It depends. Now, whether or not our comparisons with other people, that trap to compare, whether our comparisons are favorable or unfavorable with others, one of the things that comparisons tend to do is really distract us from what God has called us to do. Because we get caught up, maybe if it's I don't have what that other person, I don't have anything to offer because that person is so much better. Or if I'm better than that person, and we get arrogant or prideful. But Jesus said, if I want him to do, I want you to fill in this blank. If I want him or her, put in a name, to blank, what does that matter to you? How would you fill in that blank? If I want Kobe Bryant to be the next Michael Jordan, what does that matter to you? You must follow me. If I want so-and-so to do that thing that maybe you think you want, what is that to you? You must follow me. Now, the disciples were very human. And sometimes we call them saint, like Saint Peter, Saint John. But they were very human like we are. And they had temptations and did comparison thing. And comparison is rooted in pride. C.S. Lewis wrote this. And this is where comparison and pride are so related. Pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more than the next person. It is the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. The disciples would do that during Jesus' lifetime. They would have these arguments. You know, we have these arguments too. Maybe it's favorite celebrity pastors, actors, greatest, the GOAT, you know. They had it too. Like, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? They would have these arguments, and they would be threatened by each other as they were trying to debate which one is the greatest. So one time they were arguing over this, and then this is how Jesus answered their arguments, their comparisons on who the greatest. Matthew 18:3. Jesus said this, "Truly I tell you, clearly Simon Peter is my favorite one. He is the Michael Jordan of disciples. Isn't it obvious I like him best?" Oh, okay, wait. That was not what he said. "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Drop the debates. If you keep these debates, you may not even enter. You're not going to be the greatest, let alone even enter the kingdom of heaven. And as I was thinking about this as a kid, why did I want to be like Mike? Somewhere along the way, I think I got some sort of a message that if I could achieve, if I could succeed like Jordan, I saw all the admiration that he got. And I thought, that seems pretty good. If I can be better than everybody, because that's kind of the Jordan thing. He was known as the greatest of all time. If I can do that, then I'll feel some sort of worth. So there is some comparison. But the desire to be admired or the desire to be above is not just for people who aspire to be basketball players. It takes all different kinds of forms, which even can be come out in religious ways, like the disciples. Which one of us is serving you the best, Jesus? Which one of us has the best lessons? Which one of us has the best gift of teaching? Or which one of us is just following you the most obediently? It can manifest like that, and Jesus is saying, stop. Before I wanted to be like Mike as a kid, I think I had a different desire when I was a small kid. And I was thinking about how Jesus said, you got to become like a small child, not just a child. You got to become like a small child. And the earliest recording of my voice that I've ever heard, the thing that I say is, my name is Daniel Richard Miller. I collect Star Wars action figures, and I love everybody. They're so a sweetheart. Now, I don't want to get distracted in the Star Wars thing, because that's just a throwaway line. But that desire as a little kid to love everybody. And so I think in there's that little bit as a small child, that desire to be like Christ. That as we grow and as we suffer and as all these kind of different things happen to us, maybe they get a little bit twisted in how we go about them. Unless I change, I will never enter the kingdom of heaven. For people like me, Christ is calling me to be more like the little children we were at the start. So let's go back to the beach as we're wrapping things up with Jesus and Simon Peter. Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." And these are the last words spoken to Peter in the gospel. You must follow me. A songwriter from Indiana named Rich Mullins wrote a song called Hard. And in it, he talks about comparison. He compares himself to other people, and he's not doing bad by the standards, but he compares himself to other people, and it's a trap. And it leads him back to this reality of this comparison stuff isn't good, but it's hard. And he says this, "Lord, it's hard to turn the other cheek. It's hard to bless when others curse you. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be a man of peace. Lord, it's hard. Oh, it's hard. You know, it's hard to be like Jesus." And that is the calling on our lives, to be like Jesus. So I no longer have posters of Michael Jordan in my room. I did grow up past that, as much as I admire Jordan and his talent and all that. But today, this is the poster that I have. It's a little painting that I have in my office. So my poster is this. And if you can't see that, it is a Rembrandt painting of the Apostle Paul. Now, we don't know what he looked like, but the reason why I like this particular one is because Paul looks deep in thought, and he's got a pen in his hand, and he's thinking about writing. And that pen, the pen of the Apostle Paul, would write these words that are so good for us to hear. 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." The dream is to be like Christ. It's really hard to be like Jesus, but it's worth the effort. You know, if Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant had a signed jersey, it'd be worth a lot. If I signed a jersey, it'd be worth nothing. But I wanted to show off my jersey that I got at the end of the school year last year as I walked into this group of second graders about ready to become third graders, and they ran up, so many of them giving me hugs, Mr. Miller, and they're excited because they had a t-shirt to give me with not my logo, but their school logo, and they put my name on the back of it, my last name. So I have a jersey. And the thing about this that's really cool to me is I don't sign my jersey, they did. And I was thinking that because the calling now, they don't look up to me because they're a fan of me. They love me because I know I'm a fan of them. And that's worth something. Sometimes it's hard to follow Jesus, but it's always worth it. Will you pray with me? Feel free to read these words and pray along too. This is the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.